interviewing Mr. and Mrs. Elsie Cave, who live in Kite Hollow. And they had lived in Dark Hollow, right?
That's where we formed that.
Okay, now you said you could tell how the caves got there.
Well, you take back before the Civil War.
Yeah.
A good bit before, Jimmy Cave was put there, what they call them, Fisher's Gap, some of them do now, some of them call it Bottom's Gap.
Yeah.
He was put there to watch a toll gate across the Gordonsville Turnpike.
Yes.
And he was a single man when he come there. He had a cabin right there where the Skyland Drive goes through now, and where this road crosses. And later on he married, I don't know what date it was, but it was far enough back that he raised a son, that his oldest son was in the Civil War between the states.
Oh.
So you can figure about how long it was.
Yes.
And then he raised a family of four boys. I don't know how many girls, but four boys. And then they raised families, and that's the way they got into Dark Harbor.
Oh.
So many caves.
Yeah.
So, and as to the kind of work they did, they farmed patches, they cleaned up land, farmed patches in the summertime.
How did they plant the corn?
Well, at some of them had had horses, they plowed the ground with a shovel plow and laid it off and planted. Some of them just dug hills and dug the ground up and planted.
Did they ever use stones to keep the moisture of the rain in the soil?
No, there was plenty of stones there. They didn't.
That's right. Well, I mean plant the kernels near the stones.
Well, no, not particular. They piled up a lot of stones to get room to plant in places.
Oh, yes, there was a lot. Did they use any particular skill in doing those stone walls?
Well, nothing particular, just they know.
Because they hold up.
Yeah, they know how to build them, they just...
Yes, they didn't
that naturally unmatch them.
Mm-hmm, yeah. All right, now, what did they plant?
They planted corn, potato, bean, cabbage, stuff like just like we plant today.
Was the cabbages good?
Oh, they were the best land I've ever saw for cabbages. I've seen them grow up our way up to 15, 18 times.
Oh, oh, oh.
And they growed cabbage to sell. They would haul the cabbage down here to Luray and Stanley and Madison and all down through there and sell them in the fall of the year.
How would they take them down?
They would take them on wagons.
Oh, they had wagon roads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
This old Gordonville Turnpike went out both ways. You see, that's the first road, according to what I'm by that, that's the first road that ever crossed this year. Mountain is the Gordonsville Turnpike. It runs from Gordonsville to New Market.
Oh, so that road, then they were able to take their wagons and haul things.
We've hauled hides many a time. That was part of the work we did.
Right.
They in the wintertime, they hewed ties and hauled them Stanley here. Man there bought them, and in the summertime, they peeled tan bark.
Yes.
And haul that.
To the tanneries?
To the tanneries. Used to haul it to Stanley here, and it was shipped some places, but a lot of times they'd haul it to Luray to the tanneries.
That was a long haul.
Yeah, long.
Did they have two horses? Or?
Well, some of them had two, and some of them didn't have but one.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't everybody have them? They just certain people that had them.
Mm-hmm.
We had the most of the hauling that was done was people here in the valley come in there and haul.
Now, when you took your things down to the store, did you get cash for them or credit?
Well, at one day in time, the stores had this store. There used to be a store right down here where Barney Jones lived. They had aluminum checks.
Oh, yes.
And some up with paper. When they got them to 5 cents or below that, there was paper checks that used for pennies. Yeah, they did that for a long time. If you took stuff out, they'd give you that back.
Uh-huh.
But the ties and the bark, you got cash for it.
Right. Have you any idea how much you got for the tithes?
They run, they weren't much. They run anywhere from 50 cents. From 50 cents.
Yeah.
To a dollar and a quarter was about the highest.
For one tithe?
For one tithe, and then we paid half of that for hauling, you see. We didn't lose much. We'd give half. Yeah, we'd give half for hauling. It was worth it. You see, they had to get up and come clear in the mountains. And
oh, yes.
Take them back.
Sure. So when you took them in yourself, you got the full 50 cents or a dollar and a quarter.
That's right. You see, they graded them according to size and
mm-hmm. Now, when you took your, what would you take into the stores to get credit?
Well, we didn't take anything particular.
Like beans, dried beans?
No, we didn't sell any dried beans. We'd take dried apples.
Uh-huh.
And we would take
chickens?
Chickens and eggs.
Uh-huh. Hogs?
No, we didn't take no hogs. We raised hogs, but
yeah.
We just raised them for our own use.
For your own use. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And with this credit, what would you buy?
Well, just coffee, sugar, and just
kerosene.
The kerosene.
Material.
Molasses, any kind of stuff like
that. Oh, you didn't make sorghum?
No, we didn't make it in the mountain there.
You didn't?
No, we didn't make that.
I don't blame you. It was
well,
a lot of work.
Some people did. I had an uncle that did, and a different one, but we didn't have time for that hard.
Yeah. Uh huh. How about apple orchards? Did you have much apple orchards?
No, we had enough that we had just enough for our own use, and sometimes it was enough for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
When they hit, and we picked apples, put them in the cellar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put potatoes in there, buried them. We didn't depend on getting out so much in the wintertime. I mean, if it got bad, we didn't have.
And it did get bad there.
Yeah, it did. Indeed, it did.
Now, did you dig a trench and put straw on the bottom of it to hold your turnips and potatoes and things of that kind?
Well, if we didn't put straw, we put leaves and we'd get bark and put next to them to keep them dry and
uh-huh.
Then cover them up there.
Did you put the cabbages in head down?
That's right.
We'd
pull them up.
Uh-huh.
We'd pull the ones
pull
we'd
them
hurry up and
yeah.
Put them down.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
They came out fresh as could be,
yes,
didn't they?
That's right. Just
yeah.
Like you put them in.
Yeah. That was a remarkable way to preserve them, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
Yeah. All right, now, you made your own clothes?
No, we my mother made most all of them. Buy the goods at the store and
yeah.
Make them. Yes,
mm-hmm.
My mother made practically all of them.
Mm-hmm.
She made a lot of clothes for you all.
Yeah, she made plenty of clothes for us.
Did she hand sew them, or did
no,
she have a,
no, she
a,
had a
sewing pedal
machine.
Sewing machine?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She had a singer sewing machine towards the last, but
yeah.
She did it with the hand for years.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember seeing her cook with the fireplace before she ever got a cook stove.
Mmm, gosh. That was a lot of hard
yes,
work. What meats did people eat?
Huh?
What meat did people eat?
Mostly hog meat and wild meats, rabbits,
squirrels,
and
coon. Yeah, fish.
Yeah, a lot of fish.
Yeah, sure. Beef?
Yeah, we'd get some beef once in a while.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. How would you get that?
Well, most of the time, there was somebody in the neighborhood that'd go together and they'd kill one and they'd divide it out, sell it out to the others. That's where mostly got it. And sometimes we'd get up and catch somebody here at Stanley peddling it or somebody. You didn't see no beef in the stores then.
No.
But somebody on weekends would kill one and peddle it out.
Oh.
Well, you got most of it back in that
time. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Now, you ate good. That's for sure. You really ate good.
Well, we didn't suffer that way.
No.
But we would if we had to work.
How about milk cows? Did you have any milk cows?
Yeah, we had a milk cow ever since I could remember.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't, but we did.
Mm-hmm. One or two?
Most of the time one. Sometimes we raised one.
And with the milk cows, you made your butter?
That's right.
cottage cheese.
Yes.
And anything else that you did with it? You drank it?
So we drank the milk. Yeah, mm-hmm. We had milk to drink all the time.
How about families? Did people have large families, a lot of children?
Right, large. There was 8 in our family.
There was 9 in ours.
And all girls. They was
all girls. And if we didn't have to work awful hard, too. Like our mother died. She died when she was 35.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
Yes, indeed. Then we had to work hard, sure enough.
You had to do all the laundry then, didn't
you? Yes, indeed.
I'd
peel bark all day, too.
What would you use to peel bark?
I'd peel with axe. You see, I'd cut the tree down, then I'd go down and notch it and peel it that way.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. I'd peel bark all day long.
I was thinking her daddy, they hewed ties mostly for a living in the wintertime, all the time. And her and her sister would saw them off, and then it...
We'd saw off 50 before
then. They had a little spike like a railroad spike, or it was a small one. They'd drive that in the ties, and they would drag them out like horses.
Yes, indeed we did.
It was good pulling. Uh-huh. 2 of them pulled it. Yeah, they were.
And I waited snow till my clothes had stand out froze, just like you see on bread.
Oh.
Did I have?
Oh.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it was rough back then.
We had to
that
work.
Was hard work.
That was the hardest, awful hard work.
Yeah.
We had to work 6 days every week. Indeed we did.
Oh, my.
We'd come down and page it down our store about 4 or 5 times of a week. And then we'd have to rush back and saw ties. Indeed we did. Yes, sir.
Well, tell about the laundry. How did you do your laundry?
We had a tub, you know, mm-hmm. and a rubber. You see them washboards, and wash them like that.
That's the way practice.
Did you boil them then?
Sometimes we would, and sometimes we didn't.
The boiling was the hard part, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, indeed.
Because you had to drag the water there and get the kettle
mm-hmm.
boiling.
And my oldest sister, when our mother died, the youngest of them, the little child, was about like that. She raised that.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Then we had to work hard all the time.
Then there was no chance to play, was there?
No, indeed. I never did get to play a bit.
Didn't the boys pitch horseshoes or do anything
on
like
Sunday,
that? On Sunday. Yeah.
Indeed, I never lived to have to have no time to play nowhere.
I can believe that.
And we used to get to meet chestnuts too of a fall.
Oh yes, the chestnuts.
That was a big thing.
Yeah.
In the fall.
Yes,
that
indeed.
Was.
I picked up a bushel of chestnuts every day I would go, with just about 9 gallons of chestnuts. Yes, indeed.
Did you ever hunt hickory nuts?
Yeah, we gathered some of them.
Yeah.
But you didn't sell, you couldn't sell them.
Oh, you couldn't?
No.
Did you ever set fires to make sure you'd have huckleberries?
No.
A lot of people did.
Yes, indeed. I've seen people set them.
Yeah.
But we had some awful fires in that mountain.
That's right. But it was deliberate, so they'd be sure of having huckleberries.
A lot of times it was, and a lot of times it would be in that. See, people clean up new land that was all new at one time. They'd clean up new land and then they'd set the brush afire to burn them off in the patch before it, when it was kind of dry, and
mm-hmm.
I'd know them to go home to dinner and come back to fire and be done go.
up and away, huh?
Yeah.
How far away was your nearest neighbor?
Well, where we lived, it was where my daddy lived, it was about, I'd say, 3/4 of a mile, weren't it?
Yes, but
and
just about like 30.
About 3/4 of a mile to the closest one to us. Of course, when you got up where she lived, well, it wasn't that far. It was maybe 400 or 500 yards to the closest one.
Did you live, how far, I meant to bring a map along and I didn't, I forgot. About how far down in the hollow did you live?
Well, you see, I where the dark, what they call dark holler here, the road, I lived just about, I reckon, almost a mile from the main highway to the left.
Mm-hmm.
There was, when you get in Dark Holler, you go down a piece, and there are two streams, Dark Holler and another stream. We lived over on the other stream,
on the other
no distance from it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever take time to go on a picnic at Dark Hollow Falls?
No,
but Never did.
I've been all over it hundreds of times, fished up through the out of the, they fish in there, fished up through the out of the hook and line.
Yeah. And fishing was done on Sunday too then,
well,
right?
Well, it'd come a rainy day, well, people would fish a rainy day.
Oh, sure, yeah.
There's a few fellers that fished any time. Old man, there was Mr. Weekly up there. He went when he got ready. See, he was on the pension. He didn't have to work, but
yeah. Do you recall any herbs that were used?
Well, not particular. The people made tea out of this spice wood just to make tea out of it.
Spice wood?
Yeah. A lot of them would. Some of them would dig sassafras roots and make tea to that.
And they had a tea named horse mint.
Yeah, there was a
he
mint.
Made tea out of that.
A mint grove that they called it horse mint. I don't know.
That was awful good
like
tea
this.
For a cold.
They,
oh,
we'd gather bunches
of
wild honey.
They would gather in the summertime and keep it, must have been some account, they'd get it the summertime and keep it till wintertime and then dry it and make tea to it.
And so horseman tea was used for cold.
Yes, indeed, that was the best kind.
They thought it was. That is like they like.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're finding out that a lot of these herbs, there is true value to them.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes, and our daddy, we all had a sort of diphtheria, and he would make some kind of a salve, and then wash our throat with a white oak bark, you know, bonnet.
Yeah.
And he cured the last one of us up from the diphtheria.
White oak bark, and he made a tea out
of
that?
Yes, indeed.
Tea for diphtheria.
He used something else, I don't know.
He made some kind of a salve out of some kind of a bud he got off from the tree.
What
kind of a bud was that off that tree he'd get?
They call them Bandy Gillions. They make salve out of it, I don't know.
He made
Bandy Gillions, what they called it, but I don't think when you look in the book you can find it for that name. I don't believe you can.
No. And those are buds, right?
He'd get the buds off it.
Buds. And make a salve.
Yes, indeed it would.
There's plenty of them up there on the mountain. The trees, they're tall, awfully tall things, and the bark is kind of thin on them like a sycamore bark sort of a thing.
Would it be a tulip tree? Did it grow straight?
You know, they grow awful straight and tall, and they bark on sort of white. Light color.
I'm going to have to research that and find out what it was.
Well, I've had a lot of people to ask me about them trees. I had a fella way down in Rappahannock down there, married my granddaughter. He's got land there, and he took me over there and wanted me to see what kind of trees that they were. And there's some of them down there. I know that there were, so there's a few.
Yeah.
See, I spent a lifetime in the woods.
Sure.
A sawmill for 25 years, the last thing I did.
Oh.
And so it ain't meaning much about trees that I don't know.
That's right. And you got paid for working in the sawmill then?
Oh, yeah. I finally run a sawmill on my own.
Oh.
For 25 years, about one.
Never been to that.
Yeah. What about snake bite? Did you use any poultice for a snake bite?
They use different things. I've heard them say. I never got snake bit. I had a brother did, and she had a sister who got snake bitten. But I never, all my traveling in the mountains, I never got snake bit. But I've come off from
three of my sisters got bit with a snake.
So what did you do?
They would kill a chicken. You see, young chicken, and then put that chicken while he was a living right over the place where a snake bit and draw some of the poison out.
Ah.
The chicken would turn white green, and then get all kind of weeds out of the snake weed, they called it. and make a tea of it and bind their legs up. One of them didn't walk a bit for 3 months. No, indeed. And the youngest of the one of my youngest sisters, I was up a cherry tree getting cherries, and she was standing on the rock beside the old rock wall. And all at once she commenced crying and going on, said I'd throw a rock on her leg. And I was in the top of the cherry tree, a boy down some, a copperheaded bit her on the leg. Yes, indeed.
So what did you do?
They kept on painting, and you see that, what do you call that, iodine? Painting their legs with that, and rubbing with coal, and that takes some of the spell in that. Kept rubbing all that out and got some of it out. But she didn't walk a bit for I don't know how many months. No, indeed.
No, you'd see a lot of snakes up there.
Oh, I've run up on the biggest rattlesnakes barefoot you've ever seen in my life.
No, we lived close to where that old copper mine was. You hear talk of that? And my daddy worked there at it, and some of my older brothers worked at it. And we lived close to that, not so far from it. That was the first thing in the way of any public work that ever come in there that anybody had a chance to work at, outside of cleaning up grazing farms and like that.
What was the school like? Did you have a school?
I never went to school a day in my life. But
well,
one day,
I was buried in life. I never had to ever go to school.
All the school that was in reach of us was if somebody came in there and teach summer school, found a place and teach a little summer school or something. And then there was a man come in there with the copper mine, Harry Hall, they called him. He teach school at Dark Hour Church. One winter or two, which was it?
Teach one winter.
One winter. And then I remember when I was a real small kid up there at Big Meadows, what they called the stave mill, Mr. Coombs, and some of them had stave mill there. Somebody, I don't know who, somebody teach school there one summer.
That's right.
And that was it. See, it was 7 miles. To the closest school, 7 or 8 miles, going that way, it was about the same over this way. It was here, right down here with Barney Jones. And I don't know, I went one day, they teach a man of the name of Copley, I believe, or Gillum, a teaching in a little house where somebody built and weren't nobody living in it in the summer, just in the 3 summer months.
And in the summer, the children couldn't go to school, so they had to help.
A week or two in my life.
They sent me up there, and I weren't about 5 years old, and he gave me a pencil and a paper and told me another boy got there under a grape bush. And he told our parents that we weren't old enough.
Oh.
I ain't even afraid we'd get snake bit or something around there, so I never did go.
Oh, good.
But I can read
something.
Yeah. I got by.
Yeah. How did you two go courting?
Well, we started out just seeing each other, going to church there in Dark Holler.
What was the wedding like?
Well, we went, we didn't have nobody much at the wedding. There was running a revival meeting at Dark Holler Church. A fellow by the name of Craddock and Banks. I think it was from Lynchburg. And we slipped in there where old man Craddock was, and old man Banks was laying on a cot in there where he had. He was fast asleep. He didn't even know we was there. This old man Craddock, he married us. Right for a while ago, too.
Then did you build a house?
There was a house empty, an old house over in there where my daddy lived, closed. We moved in that and stayed 1 or 2 years, about a little over a year, didn't we?
A little over a year.
And then we moved on Luster Gander and Will's place. That was James Gander's daddy, and you know them. They had a place up here on the Mountain of Grazing Farm, and we moved there and stayed there until the park took it.
Right.
Then we moved to Madison County.
Oh, you did move to Madison County. To Wolftown, or?
No, we moved down there next to Noblin.
Oh, yes.
And we rented for, I say, 4, 5, 6 years in them.
Yes, about 6 years we lived there.
We rented them. Then I finally bought the place. Where we lived, there's 50 acres in it. And I bought that and went to hauling pulpwood and one thing or another a little later on, and pulpwood business got kind of bad, and couldn't put so many loads a week in. I believe got down to 2 loads a week, and you see, we was paying for trucks.
Yeah.
So I went, there was a place for sale up on the mountain timber and all, and I went and talked to the old man, and he said he would sell it. I went then and see if I could sell the stuff, and then I went into the timber business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd buy sometimes just the timber. Sometimes I'd buy timberland and all,
mm-hmm.
and cut the timber off and then sell the land.
Was it a hard adjustment when you had to move out of the mountain?
Well, it didn't. Weren't too hard for me. It was hard for a lot of people, but
yeah.
I had been out of the mountains a lot,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people hadn't. It was hard for a lot of them. Now, I left home and went to West Virginia and went to work when I was 12 years old at apple picking.
Oh, my.
Just through the fall.
Right. Did you ever go up to Skyland?
I've been there many a time.
Did you go to any of the parties there that
Pollock had? No, I went there one time when he had a big day there. I remember I went there with a bunch of people. They would go have horse jumps and races, and they would go have a bonfire that night, but I didn't stay to that.
You didn't?
Uh-uh.
No?
Well, I didn't stay to that.
Why? What made you come?
I was just a boy at that time, and I was riding my daddy's horse, and
oh, yeah.
He told me if I tried to do that, Rick.
Were there many people that made moonshine in Darkhala?
Well, there was right many around there that tried it.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't nobody in Darkhala in particular that made a lot of moonshine. Some of them tried it.
Mm-hmm.
But you go on down there, what's called Richard Holler, on down to the mountain, this was a regular job for them.
Yeah.
But up in there, I say maybe some of them that made 5 or 6 doublings,
mm-hmm.
and they give it up. Well, now, old man Jim Brawls, the fella that lived over there on the Haywood Mountain, now he made right much, but he didn't make a business out of it, but when he weren't farming, he farmed a lot of land to be in a rough place, I'd say 7 or 8 acres. That was a lot of land to farm into the holes and things like that. But he, through the fall, he winter soon after that was over, he made big.
Well, I don't blame him, you know. It's a lot easier carrying a gallon of whiskey than it is a whole barrel of apples.
Yeah.
You make more money out of it, too. Yeah.
And he had 13 or 14 children.
I know he did.
Wow.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known him all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was.
I've been to his house
so
many times. He was
a fellow, though. He was no harm in him.
Oh, no. There isn't any harm in those people, no. It was a way of life, and it was a very sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm just talking here. The last time I went over there, you take from what they call Crescent Rock, through that section, back through there, there was more tragedy right through that section, it seemed like, in anywhere else in that country. There
Why?
I don't know.
What kind of tragedy?
People get killed in one thing or another. More there than any spot I ever know of. It was over 7, I'd say 3 or 4. Got one way or another, got killed in there, shooting or something.
Do you suppose it's because they made moonshine and they got high, or?
No, I don't think so. I'd say that had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But there was, way back there, there was a feller, they was looking for a certain feller, Thomas, I believe it was, the law was, and the sheriff with new things I heard my daddy talk about, what a tragedy it was. He said that he summons the feller, deputized the feller to go with him by the name of Ab Dotson, and he was a powerful man. He was no man that could handle him. And nobody didn't like him on that account, I don't reckon.
Yeah.
And they went there to see about this feller Thomas, where was it, old man Parks, they cured he was there. And this sheriff, they tell me, it was crippled kind of in the foot or something. And instead of him going in himself, he sent this Dodson in to see about him. And they shot him all to pieces. So he entered the door. I heard my daddy say, I'll talk about him anytime. He knowed the man good.
Oh, my.
And they was in there, they was waiting for him.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that alcohol had nothing to do with that.
No.
They just didn't like him.
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. He was a brave man to go in, wasn't he?
Oh, law. Yeah, he weren't afraid.
Is he any kin to Ray Dodson, the sheriff?
Indeed, I don't know. It was way back there when my daddy was just a youngster. I don't know whether he was or not.
Because he's a big man.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said he was a powerful man, and they said there wasn't no harm in him, though.
Yeah.
But if people jumped on him, they said he could just clean them up like that.
Yeah.
And I can have the reason. And right there at the very same, probably the same house, or right at the same place, there was a woman got burned up with, she used gas, thought she was using kerosene to burn
that
up.
That was Dylan Taylor's girl, Rachel.
Yeah, and
got
then,
burned up.
And
I
then,
remember that good.
And then right there at Crescent Rock.
What happened?
Feller sold her gas for coal. And
coal.
Through a mistake, and she
had
just
burned her up.
Yeah, that is when the drive was being built.
Oh,
yes indeed.
You take, there was a woman way back there, a Dodson woman froze right there at Crescent Rock, and they didn't find her for a week. They said the snow was that deep.
Mm-hmm.
She left from way back down the other side of Skyland, way on back. They lived there right on top of the mountain, and she was walking, aiming to walk through here to Big Meadows or Tanner's Ridge somewhere, and night overtook her, and she froze. They said they found where she'd struck a whole pile of matches there, but
that was Nancy Dodson.
And
yes, indeed was.
Froze, just right through that, might have been the weather, maybe.
Sure, that was the weather, of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my heavens, she shouldn't have tried to walk like that.
Not that late in the day.
No. Mm-mm. Well, now, you must have had some fun times. How about of an evening? Were you all so tired you went to bed, or did you sit around and talk?
No, we sat up till way in the night and talked. And
would you tell ghost stories?
Yes, indeed, you would tell. And you might scare me to death some of them.
Can you remember any of them?
Yes,
indeed.
You take back at that day and time, and people now, I don't know why, the worst kind of thing happened, you never hear nothing more about it. In a week, you see it in the paper, or you hear it on the television, that's the end of it. Another week, you don't hear nothing more about it.
Right.
But I remember old man Layton, he was my daddy's uncle. He lived up there on the mountain, and I wasn't a bit over 2 or 3 years old, I know I wasn't. And we was eating supper. We lived in one house and eating in another. And Dylan Taylor, I think you know Dylan Taylor. He moved here to Page County.
No, is he still alive?
No, he's dead. He lived up in there somewhere.
Oh, his son, David Taylor, works for the park.
No, he had two sons, Bernie and Cecil. Bernie's dead, and Cecil, he lives across the mountain. It might be some kin, I think they can. And we was just fixing to eat supper, it's done dark. We eat the lamplight. And he walked up on the porch, and he stood in the door in a minute or two. And of course, I know Dylan, I know Layton too. And he walked up and he said to my daddy, he said, Ashby, I want you to go up to old man Layton's with me. He said he killed Sandy Nichols a while ago. And he was a funny sort of old feller. He high-tempered. And so he said, all right. And they sent somebody up to tell my granddaddy. And my mother took me around on the back of the house. People had chopping blocks where he chopped his wood on at that time. And went on around there and was sitting there watching the lantern go up this mountain. There was a mountain in front. I had to go up to get back on top. We was watching this lantern go up a log road, a slide road for people to slide across there. And I don't know why, she said to me, she said, I don't know, she said, that old man, he said, he don't like your daddy much, no how, and said he might kill him when he gets up there. I never did get close to that old man. He got time for it, but he didn't serve too much out of it.
Mm.
But after that, I was scared of that man than I was of the snake. Just for her saying that.
Sure. When you say you can remember the ghost stories, could you tell me one?
Well, our mother had been dead for about a month or two. And Maura came, come down to our house and stayed till about 9 o'clock. And said, well, the graveyard weren't far from Maura. And said he met her twice. She wore a bonnet all the time. And said he met her coming and she looked right in his face. And said, Danny's right away that then, and looked near again, said he got a flutter about to come again. He said he met her twice.
Oh my goodness.
That boy, that was a scary me. And I heard something after she died too.
You did?
Yes, indeed. I heard something in there. It's like she'd be a lifting stove lids like she's a cooking.
Hmm.
Yes, indeed. Just to put them back down the stove.
Uh-huh.
Our daddy went in there to sleep, but it wasn't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Said he'd seen his mother many a time after she was dead, a coming.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, indeed.
You reckon it was bad today?
I reckon it was, but sure would make the hackles rise.
I've heard plenty of things in my time.
Uh-huh.
It scared me awful.
Oh, of course.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. I heard something here when I first moved here.
You think?
And I was laying, we had the bed in here then. And about midnight, I heard something with this, like 100 phones a ringing. Just kept that up. And I wake you up, I said, well, what that is?
Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear that.
It scared me a while. Never did have nothing scare me that bad. Felt like my hair got to raising up.
Sure.
Yes, indeed, scared me that bad. Yes, indeed, I heard it.
Now, my grandmother, she used to tell me all kind of experiences she had had back there. She said when this road was built, she remembered when you couldn't find a rock on it big enough to throw it a bird.
Oh my.
And the stages run over it every day.
Huh.
Yeah. She walked. What do you think of that? My grandmother walked from over here in Madison County all the way to Illinois.
She did?
All the way to Illinois.
What?
And back. Her and her three sisters, uh-huh. her two sisters stayed out there.
Yeah.
She was married at first to a man by the name of John Weaker. Mm-hmm. And the war come along. I can tell you about it, won't you? Do you want that?
Yes.
And the war come along, and John Weaker, he was the right age, and they took him.
Mm-hmm.
And he skipped the army. And they catched him the third time. He skipped every time. He didn't like the army. And so he had one kid. They hadn't been married long. And so after the third time, they sentenced him to be shot the next morning at daybreak. And they said there was a little fella, a guard, he guarded some of the time. One of his guards, they had him handcuffed together ever since he kept him in a, I believe it was a Nichols, I wouldn't be sure. It was handcuffed together. And this guard thought a lot of him for some reason. And this fellow where he's handcuffed to had a great big wrist, and John Wickley had a little small wrist. And he said to John Wickley, he said, I believe if you would try, you could get, you see, it couldn't go no tighter on his hand than it could on the big fella. Said, I believe you could get your hand out of that if you try.
Uh-huh.
So try and see. And he tried, he said, yeah, I could. Well, he said, when it gets dark, I'll guard y'all have business out to the woods here, and I'll guard you. He said, if you can get loose, he said, I'll give you a break. So he did. They got out there, and he got his hand out. After the run, Wickley said, after they run, why, they got a couple hundred yards in the mountain. It was down about Fredericksburg, somewhere in that territory. Well, he shot. Of course, they had took him in the place of it. But they come apart, and he didn't have no key. They know he didn't have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So he told, he went back in and told them, said, them two men run. He said, they come apart. And he said, they gone. My grandmother said, she didn't know a thing about him, about it. If he'd got loose, or if he'd sentenced him to be shot. There was no news or nothing at that day. She said the first thing she knew, it was pouring the rain and didn't have no light on his little far light or something. And said the house was surrounded with officers. And he hadn't come. And said, she told him, no, she hadn't seen the place. Said they turned the place upside down. It wasn't a little one-room house. They couldn't find him, and so they decided to stay there and wait till they come in. And said this same guard was with them for a half. Said he said he'd walk out, and he'd guard a while, and somebody else would go out. Said he said he was scared to death, afraid somebody else was going to be out when he come in. Sure enough, he did come in when this little old fellow was outside, and he took him, pushed him, and whispered to him, told him to get to the mountain before he was in the mountains. And he went on out, and he stayed him out. They didn't come. They didn't get him.
Yeah.
So the next day or so, he was trying to get away, and they shot him across, and I reckon the Shenandoah River out here.
Oh.
Some river, they shot him in the hip, and he fell over in the river. And they said the river was up and muddy, but there was a, it had washed out under there, and he crawled under there. And they come there and looked, and didn't see nothing, and the water was up and muddy. They watched a while, and they went on to him and told him if they shot him and he fell in the river, that was the end of it. They didn't even just look.
Mm-hmm.
But he was scared to go to a doctor or anything. He had a whole load of slugs in his hip, and he was afraid to go to the doctor. He lived about 6 months and he died. And doctors examined him after he was dead. Some doctor did here at Stanley. Or Madison, one of the others, some doctor examined him, and they said they could have saved him and been nothing to it, and we got it out and cleaned the place out, but it set up gangrene and killed it.
Sure.
Then...
Which war was this?
That was the Civil War.
The Civil War, yeah.
Between the states. And then her and her two sisters and several other parties, one of them was John Sisk was alive, and she said they come out here somewhere, wherever the Yankees was camped. They decided to go. They come to where the Yankees was camped and said two guards rode out, and they seen them watching them, and this Sisk put his handkerchief on a pole and held it up, and a white handkerchief, and these two guards rode up there, and they told them what they wanted to do. They wanted to, there wasn't no fighting in the west, out west. There's nothing going on. They wanted to go west, and they said, we'll see that in a few minutes. They rode and talked to the authorities, and they sent horses out there and picked the women up and carried them on until they got through the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Said a mile or two. She said they carried her a mile or two on the horse. And they walked all the way to Illinois. And they walked all the way, after the war, they stayed out there until the war was over. And after the war was over, she come back, but her two sisters, they married out there.
Oh.
They never did come back.
Good.
Now, people talk about that. He just walked up here to the big bedrooms where he broke down. Now, that's something worth
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah, she's told me about it time and time again since I went through Pennsylvania, through the hot part of Ohio.
Yeah.
Walked every step of it. I said, did you get them? Said, there weren't nothing to ride. Half of the time, said, it was for miles and miles. They weren't even just on the road, just
That's
going.
That's right. Well, you know, that is one thing that I have admired the people of the mountains so about. They all walked.
Yeah.
And they thought nothing of walking up the mountain and down the mountain and across and back. And good heavens, I went down to Corbin Cabin the other day and I barely made it up.
I used to walk down here to the store and carry a half a barrel of flour clear up yonder on top of the big meadow for Gather's house was. It ain't a
many
a time.
Indeed.
Many a time.
How about visiting? Did you do a lot of visiting around?
Yeah, people visit one another regular.
Yeah.
From house to house.
Yeah. And what would you do if, like, you came in and you found them shucking corn?
What do you mean?
If you were visiting somebody and they were shucking corn.
Well, they did. They had corn shucked in.
Yes,
shucked
indeed.
They had
we
corn shucked in Hope, yeah, if he's right in.
They'd have bean stringing, wouldn't
they?
Yeah. We'd string beans for the half a night.
Oh, boy.
Yes, indeed.
You know, one thing that I've wondered about, the apple butter boiling. Did you do much of that?
Practice.
You did it?
Yeah, fun story.
Did you eat a lot? Did you have each person bring something to eat, or what would you do?
No, indeed, just whoever the one would help the other, just whoever the help and furnish the eat.
I see. How about drinking? Did you do any drinking during it?
No, very little. I've never seen much drinking around apple butter boiling in some places.
Never was drunk in my life. There drink none.
How about dancing? Did they do any dancing?
I never was to a dance in my life.
Yeah.
Never
they
was.
I never was to but one.
No,
oh, really? Oh, my goodness. You missed a lot of fun.
I went to one night, there was a rat. That weren't up in there, it was down on the other side, way down. I went to one night, and they got into a racket, there a bunch of them, and I just thought that was the way it was.
Oh, gosh. Well, when, with the apple butter boiling, if your paddle touched the side of the kettle, what happened?
It was supposed to kiss.
Do you suppose people did that on purpose?
Sometimes, yeah.
How about when you were shucking corn, if you got a red ear, what happened?
You're supposed to get a drink. But a lot of them were in the shucks, they didn't have that too drink.
Yeah. Was there any music that was played?
Oh, yeah. People would play the fiddle and banjos. That is about all the music up there in that mountain.
Do you recall any of the tunes?
Oh, there's a lot of different tunes. Sally, Will You Marry Me? And
Sally, Will You Marry Me?
2 Cent Gal. All kinds of old tunes.
Oh, wait a minute. Sally, Will You Marry Me?
That was the regular fiddle tunes.
And what was it, 2 Cent Gal?
Yeah, that's right.
How about Fox Chase?
Yeah, that was a powerful banjo team. Yeah. Used to be a Hurt, lived over there, Wise Hurt, old man Adam Hurt's boy. He's best banjo picker ever seen. That is his favorite too.
Oh, gosh. Do you play any instruments?
No, she used to play the banjo.
I used to play a banjo.
Do you still have a banjo?
I've got a banjo yet, but then they broke the strings on them.
Her fingers got arthritis in it, so bad she can't do much with it no more.
Yeah, mine too.
mine ain't knotted up, but they swell up.
I'll
tell you, old piece they used to play so much was old Dan Tucker.
Yeah.
Old Dan Tucker, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, boy.
My daddy could pick a banjo awful good.
Great.
pick out? What all kind of fishes would he pick? He'd sing with him.
Cindy was his favorite too.
Uh-huh. How did Cindy go? How did that tune go?
It was a kind of fast piece. Cindy's pretty little girl everybody knows. I hear that sometimes on...
That's what I was thinking. I think I heard.
And had old piece named Lizzie Jane. Yeah. You just pick that.
Get along, Lizzie Jane, with
me.
No.
Did ever you take time to look around and say, gosh, it's beautiful up here?
Yes, indeed, I'd look for any time. Oh.
Yeah.
You take this old place. This is an old place here. Old man Jack Cave lives here. He's the first man ever lived here.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. And old rock fences all the way up through here.
Well, I've had to build living fences many times. The rock walls. Did I have?
You know, there's really quite a knack to that, because if you put the wrong one in, the whole thing collapses.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My daddy had the wall of a cellar like that. It's like he was fixing a rock wall. And then he covered over with put punching, you know, cause you imagine?
Yeah.
Then covered over with dirt. And it come up a big storm, we did him that.
Ah.
Scared yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, I vote for building a mental.
Yeah. Were your houses log houses, mainly?
Log, mostly log.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were they fairly large houses?
Well, they wasn't too large. We had a, the living room and a bedroom and upstairs we used for beds. We didn't have three rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We had eight, there was eight kids. And,
when we come a big snow up far, we are where we live, the house, you know, of the snow would blow in.
Mm.
And sometimes in the morning when we'd get up, snow would be back that much on the cover. Blow in.
That's cold.
Yes,
it you take with a shingle roof or a board roof.
It'll blow in.
It's hard, if the wind's blowing, it's hard to keep it from
cold. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Right.
You'd think you was afraid in your back.
You must have had very heavy quilts, didn't you?
Yes, we had some heavy cover, but get up the next morning, you'd be back that deep on top of the cover.
Did you all make quilts?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I made a whole lot.
Yeah. Did you have quilting bees?
Huh?
Did you have quilting bees?
No.
I don't know how many quilts I have made, ain't I?
Yeah.
Since I've been here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I sew a whole lot.
Uh-huh. How would you make it with the ties through?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the best kind. They don't
go
around.
I've got one of mine here I made this year by the tongue tied too good.
Right, and look at the work that went into that.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, it's a beautiful quilt. Well, and you made designs in there, too. So you do embroidery, right?
Yeah, I work most of anything. Now, that's an awful heavy quilt I made.
That keeps you warm. Oh. You wouldn't mind the snow coming in on you with something like that on.
You could stand it, couldn't
you? You sure could.
I don't know how many I have peach for the beds.
Yes. Did your mother make quilts?
Yes,
indeed. Yeah. Gosh. That is a knack to be able to make those. Yeah.
No, it's getting so now. A lot of things I would have liked to have found out that I didn't never find out. I find out here lately.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nobody hardly anymore to find out.
That's
by.
Right. Yeah, right. Tell me about the funerals. How would they do, like if a person died, did they do any embalming?
No, none whatsoever.
No. They keep the body
now,
in the house?
Now this is another not piece.
Uh-huh. Oh, look at that.
You see, I put a back on that.
You sure did. That's an heirloom. That really is. That's an heirloom. You can hand that down to your great-grandchildren.
Yes, sir, my hand.
Yeah.
Right.
No, the old feller from down here at Fairfax, I believe he is. He might not be a living now. He used to send me a Christmas card. He come here trying to find out as much as he could. But there was... I heard my mother tell about when her mother died, staying with her Aunt Harriet.
Ellen, did you show her that old picture there with all the old people on it?
I will now and then. But I heard her say she stayed with her Aunt Harriet. That was that way down in Madison about Kriegersville. But I never did ask her whether it was on her mother's side or her daddy's side.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was on her mother's side, that was 9 sisters. If that was on her mother's side, there was 9 sisters of them. That was some bunch, weren't
it? That sure was.
Yes.
Well, now, when they did the actual burying, did they, everybody stay at the grave until it was filled?
That's right. Practically everybody.
And did you make your own caskets or buy them?
No, most of the time they bought them. Sometimes they made them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they made them.
Mm-hmm. And did they use monuments or stones?
Stones.
And would you inscribe on the stones, right?
Sometimes they would, very seldom they did.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldom.
Have you been back to the old family graveyard?
Yeah.
Yes, we clean it off every spring.
We clean it off every year.
Uh-huh, right. Then it's fairly near the top of the mountain.
Do you know where this road crosses the top?
Yes.
Well, it's about a half a mile down that road. They chained across it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a half a mile down that road. You come to a little flat.
You mean Redgate Road?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
You come to a little flat there in the road, and most of the time, if you look, you can see the trail goes right to the graveyard. I cut it off late last fall. I cut it off 6 or 8 feet wide up through there, all the weeds and stuff, and cut the graveyard off too.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
I had a lot of fun the last time I cut it off. I just went on and parked there at the Red Gate and went down the road, and I had a grass sickle or briars. It's got a blade just like any other size. Don't tell you that a lot. I went on down the road with that thing on my shoulder. A lot of people in there digging ginseng, I understand, about that time. And so somebody seen it. I didn't meet a soul, but somebody seen us when we went down. Me and her went down. I done cut half of it off and went back to finishing. And that evening when I come up, why, there was a ranger up there waiting for me. And he asked me, had I dug a little ginseng? I said, no, I didn't dug a little ginseng. And she had her old hat of carrot just the way her hair was hot. And she was carrying her hat away, and he said, would you mind letting me see in your hat? She said, oh, he looked like a pony. And so, ever who it was, it must have been somebody didn't know much about ginseng. You couldn't have dug ginseng with the size, so I just laughed. He asked, he said, could I take a picture of that thing? I said, just ask yourself. But I understand they had the whole park looking for them. Said, you're going to have those ginseng diggers.
Didn't you ever hunt ginseng, when you were young?
Very little. My daddy and mother sometimes would go. I went once or twice with them, but I never did. They hunt ginseng last 6 or 8 years I found a little around here in different places. But a lot of people did, yeah.
What was ginseng used for?
I couldn't tell you, save my life.
Mm-hmm.
That I see it now in a little medicine and stuff. But
sure.
They told me all the time to ship to China.
Oh.
They use all the ginseng there.
Well, a lot of the people use ginseng. They said it fixed up a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And another one said it's good for most anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ain't no positive bad. I've chewed it many times.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But
what's it taste like?
It's got a good taste. It ain't no bad tasting stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of strong. It looks strong. I found a lot of ginseng in cutting timber and stuff.
Yeah.
If I ever dug it, I'd just give it to my brother or something. I didn't fool with it.
Yeah.
But I found up in here looking for Mercer rooms, we found four or five
yes,
different pounds.
I hunt ginseng many a day.
And what would you do with it?
They took it to the store.
My daddy took it to the store and sat it.
Yeah, her daddy hunted ginseng a lot.
I found out how much ginseng.
Yeah,
how much did he get for it? Do you remember?
Didn't get but
$3. From $2 to $3.
A pound.
Or a pound.
$2 to $3 a pound. Gee, that's not much.
But
no,
it
wasn't much.
I believe it was about $30 green last year.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
How about doctors? Did you have any regular doctors?
Dr. Ross was our regular doctor.
Dr. Ross came here too?
No, up on the mountain.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Uh-huh. Yeah, up here on the mountain. From Crickersville?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Ross is our regular doctor.
He was an awful good doctor.
He was.
Dr. Ross.
How did you get a hold of him?
Send somebody after him. Have to walk, send somebody out of the mountain, clear down there to get him. Or go down to the store at Siri and you could call him down there.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'd get Dr. Coombs here.
But he wouldn't want to come.
He wouldn't come all the
He wouldn't come.
But Dr. Ross always came.
He would.
One time, my oldest sister, I was just small, my oldest sister went out to Tumland, Maryland. She had an uncle lived that far, and he was in, and she kept begging to let her go out and see what it was like. She was my oldest sister. And she went out and she stayed 3 weeks, I believe it was. And the day there was a girl or somebody got sick in the next house, and the day before she left, or the few days before she left, she went in there every day to see that girl, and she didn't have no idea what was the matter. And when she come home, well, by the time she got home, she was sick and got bad off, and they asked her what they thought she'd eat something. She said she'd eat tomatoes out of the garden hot. She believed that is what done. And come to find out, she had typhoid fever. And every one of us got it.
Oh.
Except my daddy and mother, they never got it. But every one of the children got it. And got down. I got a sister that she laid 21 days, never moved a finger, unconscious. And my brother, who just died here a week or so ago, he laid 9 days, and I got a scar on my nose now there where the sore come when I had. And Dr. Ross, he come every 2 or 3 days. He just regular thing. If he didn't come in the day, he sometimes come midnight.
Oh,
he's awful good to come.
Yeah.
He told me that when that flu was here, that he went 11 days and nights without pulling his shoes off. He'd just come in and sit down in the chair a little while and take a nap and wake up and go again. He'd come on a horse, come horseback, and come through before we lived, and he'd on up that mountain with Jim Brawses and on through yonder by old man Ashby Woodards and come out down yonder at Siri. Sometimes come up that way and go through and down Nichols Harbor. And he went that away and for nearly 2 months, and then he took the flu himself. That's the only thing that stopped him.
Because he was so weary,
he died.
Wonderful, wonderful doctor. We don't have him like that anymore.
Never have another like that in our time. When her first child was born, we sent for him, and he come in his car in about a mile of the place, and then we sent a horse over there for him to ride the rest of the way. He come there just as unconcerned. Well, said, "I reckon I'll stay all night."
And he stayed all night until about 8 o'clock the next morning.
Yes,
indeed.
Hello.
Great. Hey, speaking of staying all night, did the tax collector used to come around?
Once in a while, yeah.
Would he stay all night at your place?
No, he never did stay all night. No, most of them, they come on horseback and they would make the trip in a day. But Dr. Ross, he just liable to come. If he couldn't come in the day, he'd come 10 o'clock in the night.
Sure, right.
Yeah, he's a good doctor. And they tell me that doctor, I lived right close to him when he quit doctoring. He had thousands of dollars on the book, thousands and thousands. Edmund Ayler, the man told me, I didn't ask him, but he lived right there at him, he was a good friend. Edmund Ayler said he took that book, them books, and marked everything. It took him about 2 weeks and went through and marked everything paid.
Oh.
Indeed he did.
We paid him everything we ever owed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, you would. Right.
Yes, sir.
But some people just couldn't.
I know they do.
A lot of this day died. Whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes,
indeed.
A
yeah. Well, I was just trying to think if there's anything further. You said you did a lot of visiting.
Yeah, we visited one another right regular.
Oh, Christmas. How did you celebrate Christmas?
Well, you had Christmas all right. Everybody hung your stockings up.
You did?
Hope for something.
Shoot firecrackers?
Oh, yeah. If we get them, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we didn't have no firecrackers, we'd go out and build up fires.
Uh-huh.
And get big fire coals out and wet spit on the rock and then put that on there and hit it with a hammer. Did you ever hear it?
No.
They cracked as loud as firecrackers.
Oh, great.
The wood wasn't it?
Yes, indeed.
I know one time a bunch of the boys, the copper mine, you know, down there, and they done tore it down and everything gone, the buildings that fell down. There's a lot of galvanized pipes there. Some of them 12 feet, some 16 and 20. And we went over there and got this old wood. It was 6x8 and 12x12, great big frame, you know, where they had that building. We get a pile of them on Christmas, I remember one time, and piled it up and set the fire. And we'd take and fill these pipes up with water and put a plug in each end. We wondered we didn't get killed. We put them into your log pile of fire, and finally you hear it get to singing, and then things get up. You didn't know which way you had to be behind, but you didn't know which way it was going. But I've seen them things get up out of sight in there, and you hear them blow up sometimes a mile from you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, indeed. We didn't try that many times. They told us we'd get killed at it. But we did.
You got down in that old place, them bees stung you, sir.
Yeah.
Like the copper mine.
There was a place there, and it was a box. I don't know. It was
I've been there. I've picked up on my many a time.
It was just like plain lumber, just smooth as that inside. And I don't know what they used them for, but when they had that copper mine underground the rock, they went in there, into this box, and it sifted out its little packages like meal, the copper did, I imagine. But anyhow, I was over there with my older brother one time, and he said, I'm going to get over in this dust. The copper mine had been gone for years. The dust in there, the rock dust, is that deep in the bottom of it. He said, I'm going to get over in here and get you some buckshot. Great big one. And it was full of them.
I picked up hundreds of them.
Purpose they served.
Yeah.
In there, why did they have to be in there with it? I don't know. Never did know. But anyhow, he got some. He'd take one of them and beat it out and flatten, and then he'd cut it up and make fish fingers out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty long. So I was one time. My mother told me I was just a small boy. I reckon. Maybe 8 or 9 or 10 years old, something like that. Maybe not that. She told me to go out on top of the hill, what they call the Gum Spring House, and you could look right down to the copper mine. There's a little grassy flat down there. She said, if you see the cows, if they're down there, you go get them. if they ain't there, you come back. Said, don't, if they've gone up and around the pike, well, don't you follow them. Said, you come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I heard of this place where she told me to see if they had bells on. I could hear them down there. And they were down there on this very little flat. I went on down and had a very thin shirt on, just knee breeches. And I happened to think about they was right there, and I noticed it wouldn't take long to drive them home. And I thought, well, I got a little time. I'm going to go over and get me some buckshot. And there was a place just like that on the outside you could step up on. But when you got inside, there weren't a thing. You had to swing down and drop.
Uh-huh.
And I rolled over in there and didn't pay a bit of attention to nothing. Just got to going through that dust, and I, no time before, I found a pocket of a buckshot, and I went to raise up, and there was a hornet nest had built in the corner of that thing, built it right in the corner, and I bet you that thing was as big as a water bucket. And they got all over me, and I got back in the fur corner. It was about 8 feet long, the thing. I got back in the fur corner and laid down, and the only way I got them off me. And every time that I would try to jump, that was Jerry, and they sting me again. And I made half a dozen tries, I reckon.
You're still there.
Still in there, and they was still stinging. I could watch them. I'd just lay back there and watch them. They'd come out a dozen around the hole, and just as soon as I'd jar them, they'd make for it.
How did you get out?
I finally just jumped up far, and they just kept stinging, but I just kept trying, and finally I got,
that could have killed you.
Come in a hair out of it. I got out and started the calves as quick as I could. I reckon 100 maybe it stung me. I don't know how many. It felt like a dozen every time. All over the back, they could sting. I had a thin shirt on. They could sting right through.
Sure.
And so I started. I had I reckon 400 or 500 yards straight up the hill to go the way the path went. And I listened, it sounded like them cows was clear out of hearing, and sometimes I'd run right into them. They weren't nowhere, but that's how far the noise that. I made it home, I had about a half a mile to go, I made it home. They put stuff on them, liniment and all kinds of stuff, tried on some of them. I never did sleep very long at a time, but I went to sleep that evening, and it was 9 o'clock the next morning before I woke up.
You know, that could have killed you.
It could have killed you.
I never written another box unless I looked before I went.
Oh, that's perfectly awful.
Oh, I've had your meaty sting me.
Well, you never was at that old cop of mine, was you?
Mm-hmm. No.
It seemed like that there was a copper mine there. Way back when the road was first built, the R.H. run it, the first copper mine.
Yes.
The first copper mine that was ever there was the R.H. They said they really got a lot of good copper out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But these other people, they mined a lot from Chicago. They mined a lot there. But my daddy said the machinery, the rock was so hard that it cost more than they was getting out of it.
That's right.
It was such hard rock.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned earlier that you eventually owned your own sawmill.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a movable sawmill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you take it with you when you moved out of the park?
Well, no, I didn't have it when I moved out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
I just bought it in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
1948,
oh.
I bought it.
Oh, I see.
That's when I went to sawing for myself. I had another fella sawing for me 2 or 3 years before that, and then I bought one myself, and I sawed all over Rappahannock,
mm-hmm.
some in Madison, over here on Rocky Branch for a long time, sawed over there, and I just finally gave it up.
Oh, one question I wanted to ask you. How did you make your soap?
Homemade soap? I just put the grease in, or put the lye, you know, let the water get warm, then pour the lye in it and all the grease and eat it up and just keep stirring it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
It was good soap, wasn't it?
Oh, it's awful good soap.
Why don't we still make it?
Why, Mary Ann over here, Roy's wife, makes it.
Is it a hard job to do?
No, indeed. I hope I made it a couple of years ago. It ain't no hard.
Is it even grease and even equal?
It'll eat up any kind of a meat.
Yeah, you got to have an equal.
Equal grease, uh-huh. Equal grease and equal lye.
Yes, indeed.
That's right.
And you heat the water.
Yeah, heat the water a little bit.
A little bit of water.
Pour the lye in it.
Uh-huh.
Then empty that grease in there.
Yeah.
And stir it.
They said it was good on your hands. It
was
soft.
The best stuff for pies and oak ever did see.
Yeah.
I've had pies and oak to take piece of skin off my leg that big.
Uh-huh.
My stocking would stick to my leg and take piece of skin off that big.
Mm.
And I'd use homemade something if I get any. I pulled up a whole lot the other day and then come in and wiped my hand. Never took on me a bit. No,
it
did.
So.
Mmm. Yeah.
I got a little piece of it, y'all, so you know how.
Yeah, because I've heard about that, and I've often thought, well, why don't we still make it?
Yeah, my mother used to make all of her soap of that.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. When you went to Skyland, did you walk there, or?
Well, I have walked there many times, but I.
Sometimes you rode on.
Sometimes I rode a horse.
Yeah, right.
But, I love to walk.
Yes.
I don't think nothing is yet to walk all over these mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Coon hunt, one thing or another.
Yeah.
Now is some of the homemade soap now I made.
Ooh.
And it's the best soap for...
Doesn't that feel...
That's the best for pies and oak that I ever seen in my life.
It's good for your hands.
Yes, indeed it is. And even if the wife has the socks or anything, it's good.
Yeah.
Now, do you like that tomato?
Yeah.
Well, you take that thing.
Oh, no, I wouldn't dream of taking
it. No, indeed, I got more of it.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get her a paper to write.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, can you think of anything else that I have not covered? Any questions that I haven't asked?
No, I don't know.
Do you know how your mother and father did their courting, how your father courted?
No, I don't know much about that.
Did your father, you say he played the banjo?
No, her father. Yeah.
Oh. I was wondering.
No, my daddy, he could play a fiddle. He'd play a fiddle
play
a little bit
yeah.
Once in a while, nothing else about it.
Did they used to do any dancing?
I think he went to dances right much. They said he was one of the best dancers there ever was, but I never did care for it. I don't know why.
Oh, great. Well, you have given us a simply beautiful, beautiful story. And you don't know how grateful
well,
I am.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to tell you what I know.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, you know that bay leaf pies and oak. It's all right down them rocks, and I've been used to being taken on me, and I pull it up now, and come in like my hands are bad. That never takes.
Well, I get poison oak terribly,
indeed,
too.
Indeed, it won't take on you, and you do that.
I'm going to save it for that.
Yes, indeed.
Right. Can you think of anything else that we should be talking about? I feel as though we've talked so much and learned so much, I can't think of anything.
Do you know of any more to tell us?
I thought this time maybe that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, again, I want to say I thank